You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
What a sloppy opening to that episode. That was all me. I got the order. Uh-oh. It's okay. I got the order of the slideshow and the opening all fucking wrong. So instead of stopping the show on the fly, I just corrected it. So it's a fun little treat for everyone out there to watch Joey fuck up.
Call it an Easter egg. Moving on.
There you go.
So, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. I'm Scott. That's Joey. And we're reviewing Anora.
Yes. So, this
up
is...
Up for some Oscars for best...
I'll tell you exactly how many. I think this one has a decent amount, too. Mm-hmm. I want to say 10 sounds about right. I think that's what I... 6. All right. Never mind.
Has a number of... BAFTA nominations as well, if anybody cares.
I'll just get the nominees out of the way right now, because I know we usually do it a little later. We'll just do it right now real quick. Best Picture, Best Directing, Best Actress in a Leading Role, Mikey Madsen. Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, Mikey Madsen, I'm sorry. Yura Borisov, and Best Original Screenplay, and Film Editing. So those are these 6. I could actually see this walking away with a couple of these for sure. Definitely. I don't know about the film editing. It's a technical. Sometimes those are weird. But Mikey Madsen is getting a lot of talk for this performance. And I know when we were talking about it last week, I had said, you know, I watched the beginning of the film and I kind of don't get why she's getting all the attention. Well, after watching the movie, now I understand. I understand completely now. So, and I did mention last week that I said, when I watch it, I hope I change my mind. And I have 100%. So I,
now, for me, I think part of my problem with the first half hour or the first act of the film, let's say, the first half hour or so, Sean Baker, the writer-director, as a filmmaker, doesn't really make the kind of films that I like. I don't
like
care.
Like the Florida Project and...
Tangerine, which is another one. See, it has nothing to do with the subject matter. It has to do with what you would call, in the literary sense as well as the film sense, realism, like realist cinema, realist literature. And what they want to do is they want to, present realism. They want to make it as real and gritty as real as possible. And my problem is that I seek films out as an escape from reality. Reality blows. I don't want to deal with it. So I need a little bit of unreality in my films. I don't need them. If I want to see that kind of realism, I could easily submerge myself in it and not just watch it on my TV. Right. I don't think I'd want to. But
I do get that.
So that's why I'm resistant to the first half hour or so of this film. I think there are some Sean Baker fans who don't care for this film because the second and third acts are a bit more mainstream, you could say.
Yeah, and so I didn't know.
But that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I went in this movie completely blind. I was expecting one movie. I got another movie. And I'm so fucking happy that I did, because I actually really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm watching a movie. I'm getting the whole strip club thing. I'm getting the whole call girl kind of deal, prostitute kind of angle. And I'm like, all right, you know, she's trying to make a living, and you know, this is the way it's going. And then it turned into like a
ride along
buddy movie, and I'm like, this is fucking great.
They do go through the whole Pretty Woman thing where she meets the young kid and he turns out to be rich, and then he proposes so he can stay in the country, and then it's like and there's a lot of sex in between all the romantic stuff, and it's all gritty romantic stuff, like harassing a candy store, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and the sex part, what it really, so I know you weren't like a big fan of those scenes, and
I'm weird with film. I'm not a prude, but I don't like sex in my films. I have other films I go to for that.
Well, and the thing is, it's
often.
I agree. I know you do. I know you do. But no, like I took the sex scenes a little differently. I took it as she's getting paid money to do this, right?
Yeah.
And he's a fucking kid, and she's not too much older than him. I think only by a couple of years, but she's more experienced and mature in that area. And he's more like a, you know, just like a caveman humping a turkey kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's not really focusing on her as much, but she doesn't care because she's getting paid. But then when they're married and he's kind of doing the same thing, she kind of says, all right, let me take over and let me show you. And you know, it pivots, and I'm not just talking the sex scenes, I'm talking about, you know, when the parents find out that he got married to a quote-unquote prostitute, that's when it pivots, and that's when it gets fucking good.
Right. Well, but they do take the time to build up the relationship between her and the young Russian kid, and they do lay it on heavy on the romance angle of it, and so that's why it's such a great rug pull when he just runs off at the beginning of the second act.
Oh my God, that part is fucking great.
And you're just like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah, I mean, they introduce very early in the film that she is not afraid of anything. But what you realize up to that's the scene that really sets in the place that no, she's not afraid of anything.
No.
And, you know?
And again, I went into this movie completely blind. I know when we did the nominations, you asked me what the plot was. And I said, I think it's about this Russian kid that marries a prostitute and his parents don't like that. And they're going to try and break it up. That's it.
That's all I knew. And this is where I say, hey, maybe I shouldn't make comments about films before I see them, dumbass. Because I just remember this blowing off. So yeah, sounds like Pretty Woman meets blah blah blah, whatever. Yeah.
So, when I knew I was going to enjoy it, because I wasn't not enjoying it up until the scene, and I'll get to it. But I was enjoying the film. I said, okay, I see what it's trying to do. I see what it's going with. Let's see what happens. And then I knew I was going to really fucking enjoy the movie is when they call, I'm going to get his name right. I don't want to fuck it up because I loved his name. The priest, what was his name? It was, where is it? Tauros. 'Cause he's doing a baptism and he's holding a baby and he's like, talking to the mom, but he's calling her by her full name, and he's like, it's all right, come down. I'm sure it's a rumor. It's just a rumor, and I'm like, oh, okay, I like this guy. And then it moves to the next scene where you got the two kind of henchmen where they're going over to see if he actually did get married, and then the callback to Tauros again. And he's like, he gives the baby back in the middle of the baptism. He's like, I'm sorry, I got an emergency. I got to run. And then he's in the car, and then he talks to the kid, and he's screaming and yelling. It's like, fuck you. What are you doing? This is what you do to me. And then going back to the two, and then they're trying to make their way in, and then they get in, and then he escapes. He's like, come on, go. And she's like in her fucking underwear. She's like, I got to get dressed if we're going to leave. And he's like, all right, fine, whatever. And he runs away. And the guy tries to go get him, and he slips on ice, fucking eats shit. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this the kind of movie I think I'm going to start watching now? And yeah, then, and then it gets better, because that whole scene in the house from beginning to end is easily 20 minutes long. It's easily 20 minutes long. Because then what happens is, when they confront her because she's left and it's just them, and they don't put a bullet in her head at that point and clean up the scene, and you know, a different kind of movie. And I'm like, she's kicking their fucking ass. They're taking it, and they haven't killed her for it. This is going to go the way I think it's going to go.
Right. And again, this is where we lose some of the Sean Baker audience that are used to films that are like realistic. This is really not a realistic kind of situation. This is more entertaining. And I applaud it. It's wonderfully entertaining. I enjoy it. I'm going to have to try to make Holly watch this.
One of the things I told Mare what two movies I had to watch, and I said Emilia Perez. She goes, I'm not really interested in that one. And then I said Enora. She goes, I'm really not interested in that one. And I replied, you know what? Neither am I, because I knew nothing about it. I just knew the tiny little plot that I, you know, kind of read. I'm like, I really don't feel like watching it. And then I watched that. I watched that before I got COVID. It was a Saturday afternoon. Mare and the kids were somewhere else. It was just me in the house. No, it was Friday. Friday was was an awesome day. It was just I was working from home. I took my lunch break. I watched the movie. I loved it, and I'm like, fuck, Mare has to watch this because I know she's going to enjoy this movie too.
I have to make her watch it because I know she's going to be. I'm going to have to tell her to bite down for the first half hour and trust me. You know,
I don't think biting down for the first. I enjoyed the first half hour.
She's resistant like I was originally. I know her resistance.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, that's fine.
I have to twist her arm to watch a good film. So, you know, what I mean? Like a film she wants to see. I get it. You know, we got our own things going.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he runs away, and now it's a ride along buddy movie. Like, you have all four of them in the fucking car. You got the one guy, she breaks his fucking nose. And then the other, he's like, his head is throbbing. So the other guy, they go to his grandmother's house, and obviously he comes out with her medication because what are you going to get him? I'm going to get him something he needs. It's probably fucking, I'm so bad with medication because I don't take any, but oxycodone. It's probably oxycodone. And he takes a whole bunch of it, and he's just hilarious. He throws up in the fucking car because he's just all fucking strung out. He's basically got legal heroin. And it just, scene after scene after scene, they keep, because they go and they try and find him because the plan is to get an annulment. Because she doesn't want annulment. Because she knows that an annulment equals no more fairy tale.
Right.
You know? And she's like, we're in love. And you're like, you don't know. He doesn't fucking love you. It's like, we've been cleaning up his shit since he was 10. Like, we know him so much better than you. Doesn't matter if he's fucking you. He's fucking me more than he's fucking you. Yeah. So it's got like great lines like that too. And it just.
Now,
I love this movie. This is probably my second favorite film that I've seen so far.
Now, I know there's a lot of talk about Mikey Madison, but I'm very interested in Yura Borisov being nominated for supporting actor.
I don't agree with it.
Why not? It's a very understated role. That's why I find it interesting that he's nominated.
Well, I mean, he's technically in the movie enough to get the nomination, but he's not in a lot of the movie. You know what I mean? He's in that first half an hour on and off, and it's mostly her in the first half hour. And he's in scenes where they're having sex, and you know he's talking like a spoiled teenager, I'm like, this is enough to get a nomination? I'm like, all right. I think she's carrying a lot of those scenes that allowed him to get the nomination, in my opinion.
No, I think you might be confused. Igor in the film.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Yura Borisov is Igor. That's not my fault. Young oligarch son.
That is my fault.
I was double checking why I was like, am I wrong? It's like, no. It's him. It's him. He was the one that's nominated.
I'm sorry. I saw the name and I didn't know that was him. You know what? No, I agree with his nomination. I liked him in the movie a lot.
Very understated role. I enjoyed it. And
I mean, even
very powerful without really doing much.
Yeah, I mean, even the subtleties to some of his delivery. Mm-hmm. Like when he's holding her and she's on his lap and he's basically holding her down and she's like, you know, you can let me, it's like she's yelling at him. You can let me go. You can let me go. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. And he's just very calmly go, no. It's like it's delivered so perfectly.
And well, I think
it's just one of those. It made me laugh, even though it was just one word.
Well, I think that's one of the benefits of Sean Baker, the realist kind of filmmaking that I don't care for, is that it involves understatement, you know, because real life is understated and, you know, things don't come blow up in your face like they do in the film. Right. So his direction, while in this film might be a bit out of sorts for that, I think he pulls a great understated performance from Yura.
I hope he makes more movies in this style. I know he's known for the other style, and I do enjoy those other films, like Tangerine and The Florida Project. I did enjoy both of those movies, but I enjoyed this one way, way more.
I think he balanced art house with mainstream quite well, and I think he did a great job. And I mean, again, I enjoyed it.
I hope he continues to do it.
I got teary-eyed at the end. I understood what was going on.
Yeah, that was a really powerful ending. You know, like it really was, because everything that went through the whole film to get to that ending, and then it was excellent. It was from beginning to end. It was really. And the thing is, I don't, and I'll look it up real quick just because I'm thinking about it. I don't believe his other films were nominated for Best Picture, like The Florida Project and Tangerine. I think
Florida Project was nominated for, I think Willem Dafoe was nominated.
Correct,
and
Best Supporting.
And I think it was nominated for Screenplay. I could be wrong.
So, I mean, if he's found the magic sauce of, like you just said, art house and mainstream, please continue doing that, because you're just going to get noticed even more for it, and you're going to get to keep making great films. Not that he's not, he is still making movies, but now the Academy has truly noticed. So make more movies like this. That style seems to work.
It worked for me. I mean, now on IMDb it's at a 7.8. What are your feelings on that rating?
That's low. I wouldn't go any lower than an 8 on this.
I was thinking 8 myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't go lower than an 8 on this. I think that's highway robbery.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I think it definitely deserves, you know, to be in the top tier. I have my own issues, my own personal issues that I don't want to go higher than an 8, but so I'll say that. But overall, I think it's a good film and definitely deserves to be nominated.
Absolutely. And in all the nominations that it has, too, I with the exception of editing, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, it's...
It might.
Those strip club scenes, because, you know, they pan back and forth a lot. I don't know. I don't know. Editing is one of those categories where, you know, like the Bohemian Rhapsody film. I watched that movie, and I'm like, this movie... I noticeably saw how shitty it was edited. Like how it stuttered from a scene to another scene and the transitions weren't clean. And I'm like, not only did it get nominated for editing, but it fucking won. And I'm like, how is that even possible? This is a movie about music. and performances, and like the chop from one scene to the other is so bad. I didn't get it. But other films nominated for editing are The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, and Wicked. Without seeing The Brutalist or Conclave, I don't know. I don't. Wicked, maybe. Definitely not Emilia Perez.
No.
I mean, I'd be fine with Anora over Emilia Perez, but I haven't seen The Brutalist yet, so holding all
bets. Hold all bets.
As a matter of fact, I think we can pick next week's nominees pretty easily after the show, depending on what's available to watch.
Yep. Sounds like Conclave and Nickel Boys to me.
Yeah, because I'm Still Here and The Brutalist. Oh, and A Complete Unknown.
Oh.
Are not available yet.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out.
So wait a minute, what's left? Weeks. It's The Brutalist, Complete Unknown, Conclave, and I'm Still Here. So it has to be Conclave and Nickel Boys. Hopefully we can get to see Complete Unknown and The Brutalist. They're not available yet.
Hmm.
Interestingly enough.
I really don't want to watch The Brutalist in a theater.
Yeah,
let's hope it goes. It's playing at the Texas Theater, I've been thinking about it, but I don't know. I want to enjoy a film I see in a theater, and I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. And it's too...
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if it goes...
Assurances. I need some assurances before I spend over 3 hours in a theater.
3.5 with an intermission.
Yeah.
The last time a movie had an intermission... I heard was Gandhi or some shit like that.
What am I going to do for 15 minutes? Talk to the person next to me?
No. I know why they did it. I know why this director did
it. Yeah, it's a
callback. Actually, I do believe The Hateful Eight had an intermission, but that movie wasn't 3.5 hours. It was under 3. So that was the intermission in that was a callback, and it was short. I think it was less than 5 minutes, 3 minutes, something like that. But is the intermission for The Brutalist 15 minutes? Like, is it like old school 15-minute intermission?
I assumed it was because you said it was.
Fuck. Now I got to look it up. How long is the intermission? It's the number one search. How long is the intermission? It finishes it to The Brutalist. It is 15 minutes long.
Okay.
Which brings the runtime to 2 hours and 215 minutes. Jesus Christ, which is, what is that, 3 hours and 44 minutes?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore until we review it. I'm already annoyed now.
Fuck. I think All right. I'll still be watching it while we're doing the review. It's so long.
Anyway, Anora, definitely a good film. Compared to Emilia Perez.
3 hours, 34 minutes. So the movie is only 3 hours and 19 minutes without the intermission. I hope, but I doubt it. When it comes out digitally, they don't include the intermission because I'm fucking home. I don't need it. I have the pause button, okay? They even got rid of the intermission when The Godfather went digital. When I was a little kid, and we watched The Godfather on HBO. There was an intermission. I remember it vividly. My parents recorded it off the TV. We used to have to fast forward through the intermission when my parents would rewatch it because they didn't know how to use the pause and the whatever. Anyhow, I hope that it's just for, you know, that grand VistaVision movie experience. And then when it goes digital, it's like, please don't have the fucking intermission. Please. I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me fly on that one, okay?
I figured you felt passionately about this and it had to be said.
15 minutes? What the fuck are you thinking?
Are you ready to wrap up or should we
have an intermission? So if the movie wins Best Picture, does the intermission have to be always there because it's actually in the fucking reel, or you know what I mean, the digital copy.
Am I overthinking it? I have It's a Mad, 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 Mad World with the intermission. I actually like having the intermission.
Yeah, but that intermission is fun. It's a fun movie, and, you know, the music is great. It's
all right. You should wrap up before this gets ugly.
All right. Oh, my God. All right, everybody. Episode 435 of Movie Sucktastic, where we just reviewed a Nora. Excellent film. Highly recommend it. You should definitely see this one. You won't be disappointed. Go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. You can download the show there. You can listen to it right on the website. Or you can click the YouTube link and watch the episode we just recorded. It's all there for you to use. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic. And you can see everything that we post there. You can leave us voicemail at 908-514-4470. You can email us at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. And you can download our podcast player at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk. Or, even better, just download your own podcast player and do a search for our show, Movie Sucktastic. Every single episode is there for you to listen to. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
From penis to vagina.
That's last episode.
It's still stuck in my head.
We're in love, motherfucker. He loves me very much. He doesn't fucking love you. I've been cleaning up his shit since he was 10. Okay?
Oh, I miss Jersey.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you next week when we review Conclave and what's the other one? Nickel Boys. Which... yeah, that whole thing is from a POV. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, it is. I was afraid of that. Yeah. All right.
All righty.
All right. Get ready.
Bye-bye.
Bye.